That wasn't fun for y'all? Okay, here we go. We are at, we're on page 427. We're getting ready to begin the Holy Spirit's interpretation of 1 Peter. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered, is a reference to perception, not truth. The time has come to release misperception, which does not point to truth, and accept gladly the knowledge of the heart. One may rejoice over progress as he notices his perception is being healed. Transition from misperception to true perception is a glory that is to be. This is the symbol of your acceptance of your truth and of your true desire for that which has always been true. I feel like I'm just reading. I am, up till now. Okay, cool. I'll keep reading. The transition to true perception is glory. Have gratitude for yourself and this miracle, which is the symbol of your own true desire. Be at peace in your gratitude for all that you are seeing now. You are embracing yourself. And this embrace is an enduring embrace which cannot fade away. Allow it into your awareness and you look upon the miracle that is occurring within your mind now. It is a miracle that shall not fade away because it is but the reflection of your truth and your true desire. yeah, what really jumps out at me is discussion of the gratitude. Be at peace in your gratitude for all you're seeing now. And I can tell you that you guys may know that I just got back from a 5-day enlightenment intensive, where the object is to have a direct experience of truth. And, I came back to time and again, when I came back to, you know, you kind of like talk about what's coming up for you and what you're feeling in your body and what you're feeling in your emotions and all of this. But it's kind of like, you know, washing that away. It's kind of a purification so that you can really just be in that moment. And what I noticed every time I came back to me, once I wasn't, you know, focusing on whatever was going, whatever else seemed to be going on, when I came back to the base of what's me, it was gratitude. It was always gratitude. You know, so I would see this emotion, this upsetting emotion come up, and then sit with that and open to that. And then there was gratitude. There was always gratitude under whatever was going on. yeah, you are embracing yourself. And this embrace is an enduring embrace which cannot fade away. Allow it into your awareness. And you look upon the miracle that is occurring within your mind now. And I think, too, this kind of refers to that, you know, we've talked about it before, that kind of snowball effect. What did they say? What you resist persists, and what you're grateful for increases, right? So, and why not be in the gratitude of that? You know, we spend so much time going, oh, I really should meditate more. Oh, I really should, you know, read that lesson more closely. Or, you know, why not be in the gratitude when you're in the gratitude? Why not nurture that? Because, again, with my experience, it's at the very least a taste of what we are. I mean, when you feel that welling up in your heart and it comes up through your throat and, you know, it's an amazing thing. Let's go all in with that. So I feel like I'm short. Let me see if my chair will come up. Okay. Mom, you like my shirt? It was a Christmas present for my mother. That's very nice. So let's see what this says. It says, "Be holy because I am holy" is it an acknowledgement of who you are. Accept yourself as you are, and that is the acceptance of I am holy. you know, and again, all I can do is refer to my experience and my recent experiences with this enlightenment intensive. And it was just a real good opportunity to see that I'm not all those things that I think I am. I mean, that's why we speak them to our dyad partner, right? So that I can see it and go, you know, come on, is that really true? And is that, you know, and even if instead of resisting it and turn away, which allows it to persist and stay there in your awareness, if I really feel into it and move through it, then it's let go. The point being, you know, a lot like rest, accept, and trust, but the point being that we find as we transcend those things, those thoughts, those emotions, even the feelings in the body, as we transcend those things or let them go or whatever you want to call it, what we find really is our truth. Thanks, Marge. And there's no fault to be found there. Accept yourself as you are, and that is acceptance of I am holy. Right? So all that other stuff that we think we are, that we think needs to be fixed before we can be holy, all of that stuff, those are just, it's just one more story. Oh, I got to fix this. I got to fix this. It's not true. I am holy. That is who I am. All this other stuff is just stories I would heap on top of that. And none of them are true. Not a one of them. All right. You see your truth in the symbol of Jesus because your truth is accepted in his way. It is the acceptance of I am eternal. It is the acceptance of I am with God. It is the acceptance of I am in God and God is one in me. The word of God is you, and you are the extension of his word, so that all that you are, he is. And all that he is, so are you. This is the correction of perception. This is the expression of all that is true. By trusting the light, which cannot be defined as you and the expansion of you, you reach into eternity with an arm that is already there. That's really sweet. It reminds me actually of this, the section from A Course in Miracles that talks about the two pictures, you know, whose picture you can believe, your estimation of who you think you are, or Holy Spirit's estimation, Holy Spirit's, not estimation, knowledge of who you are. And, you know, and I don't know about the rest of you guys, but what I do know is I've been looking, at these thoughts and at thoughts as the basis of the I am bad thought. And this coach guy standing out here saying all these, usually they're nasty things. Sometimes, you know, this voice, this thought voice changes it up a little bit and tells me how great I am, but usually it's how bad I am. And because I think that thought is me, that's what I believe. That's what I truly believe. I mean, I might not tell you that, right? Or, you know, the guy at the grocery store or whatever, right? But that's what I believe because I've been saying it for 57 years. And that's my estimation of me. And that's got really got nothing to do with me. the truth of me is beyond anything that this voice, this judge, coach thing could know about me. It's beyond that. It's not even in the same league as that. It's not like this says, you're not kind. And the answer is, oh, yes, I am. It's just night and day. It's like this voice wants to tell me that I have to change in some way in order to be kind, that I have to gain these essential human qualities in order to be good as everybody else. And this is the voice that I go, oh, you're right. I need to improve this. I need to improve that. And the truth is nothing needs to change except for listening to that voice. Carla, I guess Connie took your advice and she's rebooting because she sure is taking her time. All right. NTI, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're on page 428. In truth, you can rid yourself of nothing, for there is nothing to be rid of. You are pure and perfect and in communication now. Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. And I like that last part of that. We've just been talking about you are pure and perfect, but you are pure and perfect and in communication now. And, you know, and so, and that's what we do. We listen to that voice and we're like, surely, you know, Holy Spirit wouldn't waste his time talking to me. Surely I'm not good enough to hear guidance. You know, and we cut ourselves off. I mean, we get what we believe and we just cut ourselves off and it's just not true. And this says, if something seems to have gone wrong or seems to be less than perfect, you are seeing through a veil of misperception. It is only this veil that must be lifted so you can see that it is all perfect and it has always been. And, you know, Regina had us listen to a teaching of the code yesterday as part of our homework for gentle healing. And I think that this was certainly addressed in the code when she talks about, you know, it depends on what your desire is, right? How you respond to a situation. So if my desire is to be seen as knowledgeable, or, you know, to somehow gain somebody's respect or gain some kind of accolades from you guys, then if I stumble over my words, if I feel like I'm reading too much, that's where my focus is going to be. And then I'm going to miss the perfection of the way things unfold. So there's perfection in the way everything unfolds. And so I realize that as I remember my true desire, which is simply to know truth. And how am I going to know truth if I'm holding it off with these thoughts and these, this resistance and, oh, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. Well, that's the truth. Do you want the truth or not? And what happens if I get that thing that the thinking mind tells me I don't want? What happens? Well, I don't know because I've never done it, right? I mean, that's generally how we experience life. We're all the time holding it at bay. I don't want that. She might think I'm stupid, or I don't want that because, you know, that might hurt my wallet, or, you know, so I'm always, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. Well, what happens if you just let it be the way it is? Well, you're likely going to experience fear around that, but you're not going to die. You know, It's not going to kill you. And again, I find that when you just sit with the fear and quit pushing it away and quit trying to make yourself busy so you don't have to think about it or, you know, whatever it is, what I'm finding, if I just move into that, always underneath that is the truth of who I am. Always underneath that is the truth of who I am. If I just sit with it. So these thoughts about what ought to be going on, what I'd prefer was going on, how I'd change the situation if I had control of it, those are the veils of misperception that are talked about here and in Course in Miracles and in other many other places. So that's the veil. This, I need this to be different, or I need this to be a certain way. That is the veil of misperception. And, you know, it's like Byron Katie says, we become enlightened to one thought at a time. You're not going to, I mean, the way it's presented in A Course in Miracles is like you've got this veil and one day somebody's just going to lift the veil and you're going to be done. But but I think it's one thought, one feeling, one belief at a time. You know, lift a little veil, lift a little veil, lift a little veil. I don't think it's all one fell swoop. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of you for something that is better than you in which to love. Seek only within. For when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this belief, you cannot find love. For what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. You know, and that's sweet. And on its face, it seems a little absurd. Well, who values being unloved? Right? Nobody I know. but again, it's about protecting these thoughts of who we are. It's about we must value them or we wouldn't listen to them. And so what we're valuing is this judge, protector, coach guy out here who's telling us, you know, in order to keep yourself safe, you need to do this. In order to be loved, you need to do this. And it's that voice that we value. It's that guidance that we seek and we listen to and we act on. And by doing those things, seeking, listening, and acting on those things, you know, that's what we value. That's how we demonstrate our value. If, you know, look at what you do based on the guidance of this voice, and you will see what you value. So let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah. So we were looking at this about, if you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. So we don't, you know, it's not like we're going to directly go, oh yeah, I value that belief. I want to be unlovable. Well, that's just not how it works. How it works is where you put your faith. It's the two evaluations. Are you putting your faith in the evaluation that you're getting from this judge character? And I'm saying, and I've been calling it that lately because that's the way I've been looking at it. But it's the same thing we've been talking about all this time in general healing. It's the thinking mind. Am I putting my value in the thoughts that I think about myself, or am I saying no, thank you, and resting in the truth of who I am? If I'm putting my thoughts in, if I'm putting my faith in those thoughts, then I am valuing those thoughts. And again, I'm here to tell you that those thoughts. Hey, Connie made it. Okay, good. Connie, you're unmuted.
Hey, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm so sorry.
You're fine, Connie.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me where we are.
We are at the bottom of 428. I just read the paragraph, but I'll read it again. Verses 4-6. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of you for something that is better than you in which to love. Seek only within. For when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this belief, you cannot find love. For what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. And I was just making the point repeatedly, I think, but I was just making the point that you wouldn't think that you would value being unlovable. But listening to that voice that tells you you're unlovable and going to that voice for counsel, and you could call it that voice or thoughts, that is valuing the belief that you're unlovable.
Yeah, that's not a very kind voice.
It's not a kind voice. And that's what I was, just getting ready to say is it would tell you it has your best interest at heart, but this is simply not true. It's not a kind voice. It's not.
Well, it would tell you that it's you, and you assume because it's you, it's got your best interest at heart, but that
right?
doesn't go. There's a breakdown in the logic somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and
I guess to start with, because it's not you.
Because it's not you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, there's lots of writings about how that voice gets built up. You know, it's Regina was pointing out today that that voice is often called the superego. But there's lots of theories about, you know, it's like your parents raised you and advised you to do this or that and praised you for that and didn't praise you for, you know, and there's all kinds of theories about how this voice gets built up. But the bottom line is we all have it. And many of us believe wholeheartedly that voice is us. Many of us are afraid not to listen to that voice because we're afraid if we don't listen, then we will be vulnerable. We believe it when it says, "Hey, you better listen to me because I got your back."
Yeah, not only that, but we've been doing it for 65 years.
Right, some of us.
Yeah.
Some of us only 57, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it says, do not seek outside of you for something that is better than you in which to love. And that's a real clue there, right? It's like, well, I might not be good enough, but if I can find somebody outside me who will love me, then I can borrow their betterness to make myself better. At the very least, to make me feel better. Myself.
Huh? That kind of reminds you of Mark Twain's famous saying where he said, any country club that would accept me, I wouldn't want to join.
That's right. Well, and actually, you know, the course talks about that in terms of special relationships. Then you end up going, why is this person with me? What is wrong with them?
They can't be as good as I thought they were if they'd had me.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what that voice does.
What is what that voice does?
It says things like that. It says, if you're happy with me, then you must be messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that that voice in our head tells us.
Yeah, it's vicious. It really is. And so it's a wonder that we could go back and listen to it again and again and again and then say, okay, and what should I do now? Well, what if she says this? What should I say? Just go back to it over and over and over again for counsel. And I think you absolutely nailed it right on the head, Connie, when you said that's because we believe it is us.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you got this much wrong advice all the time, you wouldn't listen to somebody that was outside of you. But you think it's you and you think you have no choice.
Right. Yeah, what else are you going to do? How do you
think? Who else
going
to listen to it?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and the truth is, and that's what I was talking about, I think, a minute ago, too. The truth is, well, then you just sit with your fear and you don't do what the voice tells you to do. And you see that the world does not fall apart. And there is a natural guidance system. We call it inner wisdom. We call it the flow of life. You know, you don't suddenly forget how to add 2 + 2. You know, you don't forget how to balance your checkbook. What my experience of this in recent days is I realized that, and I think, Connie, I was talking to you about this the other day, that voice says, you know, you need to get started on your taxes. okay, great. Then I'll go put it on my calendar. But you don't have to tell me 42 times that I got to get started on my taxes and what's going to happen if I don't get them done on time. And may I got to do all this coordination with the accountants, and have you remembered this? And what about that? And, you know, you need to really, you know, you need to get on this quicker next year. That's what that voice does. So
you mean to do.
Yeah. Right. So you can, you know, you're not going to be dropped on your head. You're not going to be left without any navigation system whatsoever, but you don't know that until you quit taking the advice.
Until you,
quit thinking it's you and doing what it says because of that. Go ahead, Connie.
And if any of us, and I'm sure we all have been caught up in a real fear, you know, that rest, accept, and trust is can really be difficult because that fear is so overwhelming that you cannot think of anything else.
Yeah.
It just consumes you. So what we really have to realize is that thing like filing your taxes when you're, it is a more subtle fear. So it has the same characteristics, maybe not as horrifically strong and as a fear does, and you can't think about anything else. But it's still a fear, so it still has those attributes where it's unrelenting.
I can't think of an adjective. Characteristics. These nasty characteristics are actually the dead giveaway. I think that they're the mechanism that can help us realize that this voice isn't helpful. I think the voice says you need to do your taxes. Great. Go put that on your calendar. Okay, I'll do that next Wednesday. Right?
Yeah.
And then when it comes back the barometer. Again, then you can say, I got it on my calendar. Thank you. You know, go ahead, Connie.
No, I was just saying the same thing you are. It becomes a barometer if you let it.
Yeah.
If you use it that way. What was that exercise that you did when you first moved to Pueblo, where you were recording all your thoughts and categorizing them?
Yeah, that's something that Regina did years ago. And I'm thinking we did it in gentle healing, too, where you write down all your thoughts. And boy, gosh. It was crazy. It's crazy the thoughts that go in there. And again, I think you make an excellent point, Connie. You've got to identify the thoughts, because mostly what goes on is all these thoughts get thought and you don't even recognize that you're thinking. They just play in the background.
Yeah, they're so subtle. They're so subtle. They come and go. You got to stab a subtle stab of fear here and a subtle stab of fear there. And then maybe the next thought's not, maybe it's not as fearful and you don't even recognize it as fear at all, but it, you know, a half hour later you've gone through 30-40 different subjects and it's just bizarre how many bizarre thoughts you can have, actually.
Yeah, it really is. I remember back to when I did that exercise, and the exercise, and you all probably heard Regina talk about the exercise, is you just write down all your thoughts. And then later the instruction, go back and see the theme of them. And, you know, mine were all fear, lack, loss, you know, financial insecurity, you know, all these, they would all fit neatly into these categories. But the thoughts were crazy. Like, you know, I think I was like driving somewhere that morning and I'm like, there's my neighbor. Well, she didn't wave at me. Well, you know what? I don't think I like her. Oh, look, she waved. Hi. I really like her. Oh, but that's the way it goes. I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't have a single opinion. And what I'm finding out these days, you know, it doesn't take a firm opinion and stick with it. That's for sure. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's always, you know, it's always either designed to make you feel bad, make you feel guilty for something you didn't do, you should have done, could have done, or it's comparing you to others, ostensibly, to make you feel better. Crazy. It's crazy. And this is who we place our faith in.
So what should I know about this next subject?
Right? Crazy. Yeah. So, but I was telling Regina today when I saw her that for me, what was really seemed to really come through with this enlightenment intensive, and I don't know how, through grace, I guess. I don't know today. I can identify what it was, but what really seems to have turned the tide for me is recognizing that the voice is not me. And and that way you're free not to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, and I guess you told everybody we're watching Revolver, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. This month's movie's Revolver, and that's exactly what this is talking about.
Yeah, you ain't me.
You ain't me. All right. Although, you know, I'm not sure that's what NTI is talking about here. Let's see. You want to go back to the book, Connie?
Sure.
Let's see what it says. It says, everything that you see and the way in which you see it. Well, it is. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. You know, I think the example from the neighbor not waving shows you that. Oh, that must mean I'm terrible. That must mean I'm not lovable. Not that must mean she was watching her dog, you know.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point there too. That I mean, that's why forgiveness is so necessary, because you can't trust your perception. And if you can't trust your perception, why would you judge anybody for your misperception?
Right, and you do.
And you do. You do. You do every moment. You know, I hate her. Oh, I love her. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we build our perceptions of who people are and what they mean and what it means. It's all through this, that it's frankly all through, for me, for 57 years, it's all been through the I am bad thought. And I suspect that it's that way for most people.
Not me.
Everybody but Connie.
Yeah, I think the next sentence pretty much says it.
There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Your perception is changing, and your experience of how you perceive the world is changing also, because you have become willing to experience yourself differently. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world, because the world is a reflection of your thoughts and feelings about you. You have commentary on that, Connie?
No, I don't really. I mean, I think sometimes we try and draw too much of an exact correlation to that statement, but we all know that's true. We all can see that somebody with a light and effervescent personality has a whole different spin and view on life experiences than somebody that is, you know, negative and downtrodden and woe is me and the victim all the time. Though, I mean, they're just going to have two different experiences in life because of their who they think they are.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, as you talk about that, I'm reminded of that story that Jack O'Keefe tells in one of her YouTube videos, one Anne really likes. But she talks about she was going to meet a friend one day. I don't know where they were, but and then they, you know, they went to the park and they had lunch, and it was just a lovely day. And then so anyway, some somebody comes up to the two of them together and asks the friend how the day went. The friend was like, oh my God, the taxi was late. We had to wait an hour and a half to get a seat at the restaurant. So even though they were together, they had two totally different days.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what that voice in your head does.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't these people know I'm paying good money? Don't they? Yeah. 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 Wah, 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 all the time.
Yeah. And the other person that's in the present moment and enjoying being with that other person and not letting that voice in the head tell them what's going on has a much better shot at having a good day.
Well, yeah. Well, then there again, as you said, in the present moment. And when you remove all of the definition and, the spin that would put on it, that's what you're left with. In fact, yeah. I'm reading a book right now that says this, listening to this judge, like, narrows your awareness to those things that are wrong, or, that might potentially become a problem, or it actually narrows your awareness.
Yes. Yeah. And once again, because that voice in your head is so fear-based, it's always casting that shadow over your life, if that's what you're living, if that's what you're listening to.
Yeah. This says, look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go.
That's a barometer that you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm not happy in this moment, why not? What do I think should be different? What am I believing about myself?
So it does exactly that. It shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road where you want to go.
Right.
And where do you want to go? You want to go happiness, go to happiness and peace of mind, love and joy and all that thing, all that type of experience, as opposed to this experience that's covered over by fear.
Right. Right. And, I appreciate you mentioning the happiness piece of that, because that's what that voice promises to give you. If you listen to me, you get to be happy.
Yeah.
But that's a lot.
So that's what you're seeking. But that's not going to get you continue down that road. You're not going to get what it's promising.
No. It's a lie. That's not where happiness lies. The happiness lies in giving that up, that voice up.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Okay. Verses 13 through 17, page 429. The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world, and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to yourself. If you resent this one's authority, you have a resentment against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you are not yet accepting the truth of you. By looking at the world.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's just what we're saying.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine. Interrupt, please, at any time. I can't see you, so you just have to, right?
Okay.
By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. And here again, you can't, you're not going to find your misperception if your desire is that you not be seen as foolish, or if your desire is that you, like Regina told us in that audio, if your desire is that you be financially secure, or if your desire is that people like you, or, all those are detours. And that's why the desire has to be, I want to know the truth of me. Okay, if I'm the awfulest person that ever lived, then I want to know that. Don't protect me from that anymore. I don't need your protection from that anymore. I need to feel what I'm feeling now. I need to be in the experience that I'm being in now. Because I know this way lies truth.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing about that is, you know, you can either be in happiness and joy, and if you're not, then you let that not be the barometer that's going to take you back there by looking at that at where you're finding yourself at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
So either way is the road, or it's either the happiness or the road to happiness, if you use it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I was saying before you came on, Connie, was that my experience in this enlightenment intensive was that I found that no matter what I sat with, it gave way to gratitude. I mean, it just, you know, as I opened to it and opened to it and opened to it, what was always underneath every single time without exception was gratitude.
Yeah, and what was that exercise Regina asked us to do? I don't know, it's been a few months back where she said, pick one of these: gratitude, joy, love,
happiness. Yeah.
Unconditional happiness. Just pick one of them. They're all the same thing. And be that.
And be that. Yeah.
And be that. And so, you know, that's what you are. You're that gratitude. That's the essence of you.
Yeah.
And how sweet is that?
Yeah,
how fulfilling is that?
Yeah. If you could be anything, what would you be? Gratitude goes a long way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you asked it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions. So this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go. I mean,
there it is. Close
yeah.
The book.
yeah. The idea that everything is this gift so that I can know the truth. It's not in my standing, it's standing in my way of the truth. Of my, you know, it's not preventing me from knowing the truth. This is the path to truth. You don't.
Yeah, and it's so easy because it's right there in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. At your request. Yeah, you don't. You don't maneuver around these things to get to the truth. Oh, if I could only get around that one thing that's, you know, that I've been having trouble with. You know, the fact that I can't get along with people. then I could awaken to the truth. No, you don't get around that. This is here to show you the truth of who you are, not who you believe you are. So to talk about loving what is, I mean, not only being loving, accepting it, just accepting it, but being grateful for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really hard to do. Like you said, Connie, sometimes, the voice seems really loud, really insistent and really convincing.
But the cool thing is the cool thing of that is, and I, is that, you know, if it's not joy and if it's not gratitude, then it's a misperception.
Then it's a misperception.
So it's, I mean, if you can't do anything else with it other than that, you can identify it as a misperception.
That's right. That's right.
And then, of course, hopefully you can go into that rest, relax, and trust. But just that, but just identifying it as a misperception is take you a long way.
Yeah, that takes you a long way. Yes, and knowing that you just don't have to listen to it anymore, or try to sort it out, or try and get the voice to help you figure out what you need to do to fix it.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you about an incident that occurred during that retreat where I was, I was going along, rolling right along with this, could see us, all these thoughts as separate, and then just had a really big something that hurt my feelings. And the voice is like, well, you need to do this. You need to say this to her now. Well, you know, here's how to fix this. And I finally had to put in some earbuds and listen to something so I could listen to something other than the voice. And then the next morning, there was enough room. No, don't do that. My virus scan wanted to do something. There was enough room that I just had enough distance from it so that I could go, yeah, that was pretty clearly the voice. The one that I don't want to listen to, that's not helpful, that's not actually going to solve any problems. I don't have to listen to a thing that it says. And when I could settle down like then guidance could come in, and guidance led me to do exactly what needed to be done. You know, and it wasn't a, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, if you could see my perspective and no, it was like, just go be with that person. Just go be with them. I don't know how that'll turn out.
How sweet is that?
Yeah. And it would, and you know, it was, yeah, it, the issue was resolved. You know, there was no discussion of the issue and who was right and who was wrong. And it was just let go.
And you know, and that's how you know it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit just answers everything so perfectly if we can just hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what a brilliant way to get over it. It's just go be with them, you know?
Yeah. 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 And
it's brilliant.
That guidance doesn't come through if I'm still in my head, if I'm still listening to that voice that's going to tell me how it's going.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think
it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. I think the course talks about, maybe NTI too, says you can't solve the problem in the problem.
Yes.
So you have to go outside of the problem. You have to lay down the problem enough that you're no longer in the problem, that there's a alternative available.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And clearly the solutions that were being offered me were from within the problem. It's like, well, you know, she's right. You shouldn't have done that thing that you did. And you know, you're not always very considerate. And, you know, and if you say this, gosh, how would she react? You know, so I'm making up these stories and then I'm going to try and act on these stories. You know, no. Of course, I say I, but it's not I. But that's what the counselor would say. So guess what? We're out of time.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. So, so thank you, everybody. We love you guys, and we appreciate the opportunity to share with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry I was so disruptive, but I enjoyed spending the last part of the meeting with you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.